How many of you have ever had the same job for so long, or for any amount of time, any length of time, that you found yourself in a mundane pattern? You wake up the same time every day. You've got certain tasks that you move through during your preparations of leaving the house. Your route to work is the same every day. There's certain rituals that you find yourself going through when you do get to work before you start your work day. And you typically finish out your work day the same every day, because you've already got it in your mind that tomorrow brings another work day. You know, the job that you once had, or the job that you once prayed for, you've now got. And now it's just become a daily routine. There's no thought given how things were before you got the job. You're just there. I'd have to say that if any of you have done anything for any length of time, that it's become an expectancy of your everyday life. Let me simplify just a little. If I say thank you,
you say you're welcome.
If I call you on the phone, you say,
hello.
Spouses, if I say I love you, you better say,
I love you.
You probably brush your teeth the same way by starting on the same side every morning. Check yourself tomorrow. And then check yourself again the next day. See if you start out the same way every single time. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that we all are creatures of habit. One of the issues with this is that if we aren't conscious and deliberate in our routines, we can end up in a place that once meant something, it's now become familiar. And we fail to recognize moments that should be seen different at any given time. You know, I've caught myself here, getting up and jumping in my car and riding down the road going to work. And before you know it, I'm pulling into the parking lot. And I'm going, man, I don't even remember taking a right out of the neighborhood. I don't remember coming down the road in the neighborhood. I don't remember if I got stopped at a stoplight this morning. I don't remember going by certain landmarks that I am used to seeing every day. What I fear is the same type of programming has taken place in the church. I told you, God switched you. We're going to piggyback Wednesday. We've become so familiar with His presence that we've begun to move through motions and not recognize seasons of freshness because we're in routines of perceptions. We've seen it one way for so long that any way outside of those boundaries aren't either recognized or they're rejected. And the whole time we are praying for something fresh and new in our lives and in our churches. But we're not seeing it. I guess my argument would be, is it because God's not doing anything? Or is it because you're not available? We've begun looking to other churches and their leaders for some sort of formula that can be emulated because of what they portray as success in our eyes. It's not going to be a spitting service, so if you was looking for me to jump on a chair, it's not going to be there. We've gone to idealism instead of theology. We've shifted from God to man. We've gone from worship to entertainment. Man, if I could just do like they're doing, and don't get me wrong, I'm not bashing big churches or large churches, because I know the vision that I have isn't what we are sitting in right now. So I'm not bashing large churches. But the moment that we begin to fabricate a stage bigger than our altar, we've went from worship to performance. And if we're not careful, our eyes will be set on those that have been elevated to a platform. Now listen, God can put you there. The enemy can set you up for it. It's a difference. If God puts you, if God calls you, if God sets you, if God anoints you, can't no man tear you down. But here again, this will fall right in line with the sermon too. You have to be careful with that, because pride and arrogance will... Oh man, they've got great light shows. Their praise and worship is off the hook. I mean, it causes you to jump, causes you to run, causes you to weep. The pastors become an idol to those that are looking at them. If I could just be like him. And if you're not careful, you're looking at what he's doing as far as numbers in his church or what he's doing with other things. If you're not careful, you don't only receive his method of how he's doing it. You open yourself to receive the message that he's given. Church, listen to me. Not every message that you hear flow from the lips of a pastor across the pulpit is pure. You have to be careful. We have invited consumerism inside of our praise and worship now, so much so that now we'll tell you to praise him for your breakthrough. It's manipulation. We've lost the pureness of our praise when we should be praising him for who he is. Instead, now we praise him for what he gives. And if you're not careful, you'll live a life of what you consider freedom, and it's bondage camouflaged. The enemy isn't here to give you joy. Oh, he loves to give you happiness. The enemy wants you to be happy, because happy is based on your emotion. If I can keep you happy with everything else except God, I got you. The further he can keep you from God, the better off he is. And we must be careful in our patterns that we adopt. In church. We've become so comfortable in how we do church because we've done it for so long, and the only thing we seem to focus on is changing our performances to influence the attractions and not setting platforms in which the manifested glory of God can operate. If I can get it dark enough, if I can play the music loud enough, if I can strum on the emotional guitar long enough, if you watch any TV at all, you should be tracking with me right now. You know as well as I know. There ain't no truth in you jumping on one leg, spinning around in circles seven times, and your whole family's going to be blessed with $1,000 before you leave the church. Pastors, you better watch what you're doing. God ain't tell you that. We're prostituting the gospel for personal gain. And I refuse. I will not tolerate, and nor will I allow God to be taken out and consumerism to be put in. So if you're looking for a church that's going to get you on your giddy up and get gone all the time, it's probably not the place, because I want to get to a truth that will penetrate your heart. God's desire, God's command is that he will be worshiped in spirit and in truth, not with laser lights and smoke. I'll get bad letters this week. But this ain't what this is. Listen, it's fine. It's fine. If God's in it. But when God is absent, I don't care how beautiful your voice is. If the anointing's not there, all you have is a talent. I don't care if you can preach the paint off the wall. If God's not in it, there's no anointing. There's no life that's going to be changed. You're going to be preaching and having church, and people are still going to be dying in the pews. Don't blame me. We're going to have a text. I'm not on a soapbox. Ephesians 5 puts it to us like this. It says, to be imitators of God. Not imitators of churches. Let's go to Luke chapter 17. We'll start at verse 11. A little tight in here this morning. Snuggle up next to the person beside you so that you ain't getting all twisted this morning. Okay? Don't be throwing darts at me. Okay? Put your nose in the word. Don't come after me. Go after God. With me? I'm going to try to read through the whole thing. Wish me luck. I mean, pray for me. I don't believe in luck. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem, we're talking about Jesus here, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Very important. Then as he entered a certain village, there he met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus. At least they had enough in them to say this one. Master. Oh. You're only going to get the God you can see. If you don't see God as your healer, guess what God you're not going to experience? If you don't see God as your master, guess who's going to be your master? You're all going to have a God. You're all going to worship God. Big G God, the man, the creator, or little G God, his opposer. It's not his enemy. The Bible says it's your enemy. It's not his. God's too big to have an enemy. Can't nobody fight him. So you're going to worship a God. What God are you worshiping? And if you're worshiping the true living God, what portions of God are you receiving? Are you blocking him with other areas in your life that he wants to prosper you in? I say that word, everybody reaches for a wallet. Not talking about money, I'm talking about everything. When I talk about prosperity, I'm talking about life. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about wholeness. I'm talking about having all, being completed, lacking nothing. If we aren't careful, we will only experience. Now, I'm not going to say you're going to hell. I'm just telling you that you're only going to experience certain things in your life. And then you're going to get to heaven and you're going to be disappointed, even with the streets of gold. That was mine? That was boxed up for me? Man, I wish I would have. But they call him Master. Have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he being Jesus, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that they went. They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned. And with a loud voice, he glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Important. So Jesus answered and said, is this not profound? As if he didn't know. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any of found who returned to give glory to God accept this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. My assignment is caught up in verse 18. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? The title of my message this morning is Be the Exception. Be the Exception. In our text, we find that Jesus is moving through Samaria and Galilee. And Galilee, just to give you a little bit of background on Galilee, there was 11 of 12 disciples chosen from this Galilee. There was 25 of 33 miracles performed in this Galilee. There was 19 of 32 parables that were written with the backdrop of this Galilee. God had virtually made Galilee the, how do I want to put this? The headquarters for Jesus' ministry. So what we have, we're in a place where people aren't unaware of Jesus, but are very aware of Jesus. But the problem with this is that when he's traveling through this Samaria and Galilee, that this is like a smorgasbord. There's a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. And before you start bashing the Samaritans, the Samaritans wouldn't, in my book, be the bad guys. It would be the Jews that would be the bad guys in my eyes, because the Jews were the ones that would actually rejected the Samaritans. So this has happened some 200 years prior to Jesus. So we can't blame it on the fact that it was Jesus that they were rejecting. It was the Jew in Jesus that they were rejecting. You with me? It wasn't that they wanted to reject him just because his name was Jesus and he was doing these miracles, and had nothing to do with that. This is how they were brought up. This is how they were raised. You know how you were raised? To hate this person or to love that person? You don't like Uncle Bobby. Stay away from Uncle Bobby. Uncle Bobby's problem. He's trouble. Come on. You all got that one in your family somewhere. You'll even tell your friends about that one in your family. Now, be careful. Aunt Susie, So it wasn't the fact that the Samaritans hated Jesus. They hated the Jew in Jesus. They weren't acquainted with what Jesus brought yet. And here they are, all of 10 of these are together, far off. Isn't it amazing? And you better listen, because if you're not careful, you'll be one of these 10. That you gang up with the ones likened unto you. Let me come on down your row. You gossipers, you hang out with the gossipers. You can't hang out with somebody that don't like gossip, because if you go and sit beside them and you're a gossiper and they don't like gossip, they hurt your feelings because they look at you and go, I'm not interested. Yes, you do. See, there'll be four or five of you out by the scuttlebutt or right outside on the parking lot here in a little bit. I'll peer through the window. I'll check you out, and I'll find out who you are. We'll talk. But these 10, they gather, they all have leprosy, so they all have something in common. And they're gathered together. Man, isn't that just something like churches? Oh. Coming again. Facebook going to hate me today. Won't associate with that church because they're not of the same denomination. They don't like it. I'm not going to that church because they do that thing that's of the devil. They speak in tongues. Of the devil. I'm telling you, of the devil. Let me go and pick on you. You won't go and be a part of something because they don't believe in the way that they believe or the way that you believe, so you won't be a part of. Even if it's just to associate for the day. Jesus sat with all of them. So get off your high horse. I don't care if they just christen them. You have an opportunity to witness to them. You better be witnessing to them. I told you you're not going to like me after today. We're not. We can't be a body that follows. We have to be a body that leads. When I say follow, I'm talking following man. We're to follow after Christ. At least one or two of you agree. Maybe we better get in some more Bible. It goes on to talk about there was one person that returned, and that one person was the Samaritan. And this is just like the church today. The ones that aren't accustomed with what you have. Enjoy what you have. If you're accustomed to it, let me help you. You have your neighbor come in or somebody you invite to church. They hear your pastor speak. They get word. For the last 6 weeks, you've been saying, you're drying up. It's because you've become familiar with the voice. That's what you hear. You won't recognize the God in it. You with me? Come on. You've got to understand this. If you're not careful, you'll put yourself in a position that you can't receive nothing because you're used to it. You don't know what it's like to sit in a sanctuary that doesn't have heat. You don't know what it's like to come in and sit on cushy chairs in the AC or without AC, because you've got it all. Look at you. David, turn the air off. See, I mean, even he won't do it because he's going, man, this is a commodity. Leave the air on. Because we're so used to, we are accustomed to it. What if you had to stand in the days and listen to someone read the Bible and that's all they done? What if you lived in a third world country and you had to trudge through water up to your waist to get to the service and then stand in it up to your waist while having service and enjoy it? Walking through monsoons for 3 and 4 days, weeks at a time, to hear the word of God. And I can't get you out of bed to get here on time at 10 o'clock. The Samaritan wasn't accustomed to the works. So he was grateful for what was done. The other nine, because they were Jews, they were used to it. They walked with a sense of entitlement, Christian. Can I tell you something? Let me tell you this a little louder. God don't owe you anything. Hating preacher now. Gratitude is the antidote for entitlement. If you can be grateful for what God gives you, it will keep you out of that little error of thinking, well, God owed me this anyway. I ain't even preaching to the right people this morning. We don't like the call of correction in our life. We need the feel-good, happy stuff that will lift us up, carry us through the week. That's what we need. Wrong. If you're here Wednesday, you know what you need needs to be deep-rooted all the time, because you don't know where you're walking in air until you hit a bump in the road. If you wasn't here Wednesday, your fault, not mine. Oh, we want the good stuff. Pastor, I need a word. I need a word. Get you one. Stop putting the pressure on me. Put the pressure on him. Don't put it on me. He wrote you a bunch of words. The other nine continued to walk on. Just like we do. I'm not saying all of you, because I know there's one in here. There's always one in any congregation that's holier than everybody else. So there's one of you in here. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the other 99. Not talking to the one today. But we do church just like we do every Sunday. Just like we do every Wednesday. And we leave wondering why we're not changing. You know what? Let me back up on that. We're leaving and not changing, and we don't even know it. You think you're fine. I'm fulfilling my duties as a Christian. I'm going to church on Sundays and Wednesdays, some of us. I'll pay my tithes and offerings, some of us. I don't cuss, some of us. Not a whoremonger, some of us. We don't want the truth in church anymore. God says that the truth will be what sets you free. Nothing else. I can befriend you all day. Love on you. Get right up on in your bucket. And you'll never change. And then I'll be the worst man in the world. Well, I had a pastor and he never told me that. Because if I would have told you that in the season that you were in, you would have bailed. We're not maturing in this faith. We're putting the blame on everybody else that's handling the word, not the ones on the pew. pews receiving the words. I mean, I beat myself up bad enough. I don't need you to help me. You don't know how often I walk out there and go in my office and go, God, that was just a total flop. I did not do anything to get them to understand what you told me. And then go home and tell her, why do I even do this? And then it takes God again, because I'm all up inside my feels. It takes God again to give me a text message, an email, or a phone call, and they say, Pastor, I love the word today. Thank you. And then I'm all good now. Let's go eat some peanut butter cups or something. But the other nine walked because they got that sense of entitlement. They were used to that. That I'm a Jew. He's supposed to do that for me. Uh-oh. Family's the same way, aren't we? Your family. You're supposed to do that. God, you hit a nerve. We think that we're entitled. You aren't. Everything that you've received come by way of God's grace. You're entitled to nothing. If you don't leave with nothing else today, I want you to leave with that word in your head. You're entitled to nothing. There's nothing you could have done that could have changed God's mind so that he could have sent his son to die for you. You're due nothing. Let me do this so I don't hurt y'all's feelings. You're due nothing. Amen, Pastor. I want to make sure that y'all know I'm preaching to me too. I'm due nothing more than what you're due. When we get to the cross, when we get to Golgotha, we are setting on level playing ground. None of us deserve anything that we've been given, nor anything that God desires to give us. But yet we come in here. And I'm saying in here, listen, I'm not beating you up. I'm talking to the world church. Because we go Facebook Live. See, God puts me out in the middle of all of it. God, I'm out in the water, might as well swim. We've timed church so that I don't have to participate in singing. I don't have to participate in giving. I just have to get there in time to get my word so that I can go home. And while I'm there, God help me stay awake. Had a rough time, long week. This is what I tell my kids all the time. I bet you Jesus was tired too when he was dragging the cross, but he still drug it. Don't know if it's a good idea or not, Jesus. The ingratitude of the other nine did not deny Jesus' mercy on them, but it did deprive them of the fellowship with him. Seventeen. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10? But where are the other nine? He began to fellowship with this Samaritan, this foreigner. Isn't it weird that a newcomer to Christ is more on fire for God than you, and you've served him for 30 years? Yes. Oh. Well, Pastor, just let them follow me for a little while. I'll talk them right out of it. You sure will. You do it every time. Yes, you do. Because you begin to speak reason to the young Christian. He just left, or she just left, a service that was just mind-blowing. Walk by faith and not by sight. This guy or gal is fired plumb up because they know that what God wrote is true. Let God be true. Let every man be a liar. He knows that God is true, and God said this, and it was mine, and I reached, and I grabbed it, and I pulled in, and here you come with reason. You're not going to overcome by reason. You overcome by faith. Don't come to me with your reason. I know. Jesus freak. Right? See, y'all don't know. We used to call him Jesus freak. For a good thing. I mean, we wasn't poking fun at him. We called him Jesus freak. Because opened his mouth, he talking about Jesus. How's your day, man? Jesus was so good to me. Dude, I just want to know how you doing. How was the food, man? God bless me on my food. He got a big old steak. I'm just telling you what I know. We're destroying the Christian faith by our reasoning. The Christian faith, man, it's based on faith. And see, you're waiting. This is what I like to hear. And God's really turning me around, so you're just going to have to deal with it. You're either going to have faith or you're going to have reason. You can't have both. Period. And I don't break out all your theology you want to break out. You're either going to live by faith or you're going to live by reason. You can't live by both. Because faith always takes you to a different what? A different level. Reasoning, my reasoning with you brings you down to reality. My faith helps take you to supernatural. Where do you rather live? When are you going to be the exception? When are you going to be the one? The exception. I know what God told me, but Rocky, if you do that, you put your family in jeopardy. I know what my God told me, but Rocky, if you do that, I know what God told me. Make sure it's God. How do we do that? Spend time with Him. My sheep will know my voice. See, people go, I don't know if it's God or not. Probably wasn't. If you don't recognize it, probably wasn't. Come on, mature Christians. When are we going to make the decision? What's better? What's better? Your healing and no fellowship with God, or fellowship with God and no healing? What's better? You choose. They chose their healing. He chose God. See, if you're not careful, people, listen, you will begin to praise what you received instead of praising who give. Idolizing. Exodus 20, I shall have no other gods before me. We don't like that Old Testament because that's religious. It didn't go away. It went to a higher standard. That's why pastors don't preach on the higher standard, because it makes you feel more convicted. I don't want to say condemned. More convicted. Because now it's not even about murdering somebody. It's just the thoughts. It's just being angry now. Now it's not about having... Accept this foreigner. Except for the one that didn't know any better. Everybody else left except the new Christian that recognized Jesus in a situation before the other nine talked him out of it. He was an exception. Wasn't looking. There's a danger in following and not leading. Do you know that God called you to lead something? Every one of you. Let that one sink in. You're supposed to be leading something. What are you leading? So you won't get twisted up more about not knowing what my call is. What am I supposed to be leading? Because listen, you can't look at what other people are doing or don't do to set the boundaries and limitations on you on what you can and can't do. You can't do it because God didn't call you to do it. He called me to do it. You can't do it because God didn't call you to do it. Called her to do it. And you put limitations on yourself and God. Why are we thinking that church isn't growing? Not church, not one church, because we're growing. Not church. I'm talking world church. Why do we think there's such a falling away now? Because we have now begun to get in our little cliques. That person, they have 20,000, they have 15, they have 20. See, you got to meet a certain criteria. It's not walking with Jesus, it's having the numbers in the seat. Pastor, how many people did you have last Sunday? I hate hearing that question. If I got one that leaves out of here with a word in their heart that stirs them and causes them to change a different direction so that they glorify God in it, I don't care if I didn't have but that one. And I'll preach to you, whether it's 100 or 5,000, the same way. I don't get any more excited when it's full. Doesn't matter. God said, there's going to be a Sunday, August the 18th of 2019. I'm going to have a couple people sitting in a couple seats. This is the preach. They go get a word. If it ain't you, take it up with him. My assignment today was to challenge you to be the exception. Can I give you a couple examples? Because you're limiting yourself, so I want to get the limitations off. These are examples in the Bible. It's funny, in church. The waters don't separate themselves. But Moses was the exception. Men don't survive overnight in a den of lions that are hungry. But Daniel was the exception. Women don't have babies in their 90s. But Sarah was the exception. Oh, come on. Yeah, boys don't walk into a fire and come out not smelling like smoke. But the Hebrew boys was the exception. How many more exceptions do you need to break off some of that stuff in your mind? Listen, listen. A man doesn't raise himself from the dead.
That's good.
But Jesus was the exception. Why aren't you the exception? Why can't you be the one to see something in the group of people? Man, that was God. God, I know what they're doing, but I got to let you know something. I want to thank you for that. We're hanging with crowds that can't give us anything. And when God gives us what we need, we still don't recognize Him for it. How much longer are you going to walk with the popularity? See, I'm leading right on up into something. I'm just telling you now, this ain't going to be a church of the fancy. We going to have God's glory, or we ain't having church. This is His time. We came to an agreement as a body of believers that joined in one mind and one accord and said every Sunday at 10 a.m. we are at the minimum going to set aside some time to meet with God. Every Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the minimum, we're going to set aside some time to meet with God. Why aren't you? Maybe I'm going to put that in the membership thing. It's going to be on the bottom. I'm going to put it on the bottom. If you ain't here by 10, go home. If you ain't here by 7, go home. See, you don't understand. God has got divine appointments for each and every one of you. You miss the appointment. We always see Jesus passing by. Just passing by. I ain't seen anything in Scripture yet that says He went back. I'm just saying that when He was caught passing by, somebody yelled out for Him. Somebody stopped Him. Somebody interrupted Him. What are you doing? See, your divine appointment was yesterday at 3 o'clock and He was passing by. And what did you do? Oh, man, I'm running late. I get it. I'm done. You've been set apart. For Him. We don't like the responsibility role. You're to be used by Him. Some of you are more respectful to your boss at work than you are to God Himself. Can you imagine? There's going to come a day, and we're going to have to stand before our Creator and give account. What did you do with the life I give you? I love to have church. I love a good word, man, that motivates the spirit, man, and causes him to jump up and down and gets the flesh involved with it. I love that. But you're not going to catch me and say, well, Pastor never told me that I was accountable to anything that you give me. What's your reasonable service? Present yourself. Church, I want God's glory back. God can't put in to anything unless there's room made for it. The tabernacle was set up. God's glory filled it. What are we supposed to be? Temples. I'm going to help you Bible study. We're temples, right? We're temples. So we have to get out some junk. I believe this would be a word from God to you. The quickest way and the easiest way to God's glory being manifested in your life is the honor and the respect due to Him. Your selfishness has got to go away. And we've become selfish. If it's not about me, it's not the place to be. And I got to work Ian to death on websites and everything else, and Tommy and Billy and Mike. Everybody's got to get their fingers worked to the bone so that we can present to a community outside the four walls that there is a church and there's some kind of an attraction to it. I mean, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? We are failing miserably at representing God. We should be ashamed. And I am. Stuff shouldn't be used for an attraction. It should be used for a platform to expose God's goodness. If it ain't what you like to see on YouTube or our website or Facebook or Instagram, find another one. I'm going to present God in the best fashion that I can. We're going back and we're going to get the ark. And we're bringing it back to the church. Yes, it's heavy. But you're going to carry it if you want it. Stop riding everybody's skirt tails and shirt tails. That's what we're doing in church. The only way that you can become joyful now is if there's 15 people across the stage and all of them are singing and the lights are just going crazy. People are screaming. And you go home, man, we sure did have church today. You wouldn't know what church was if it hit you in the mouth. Let's stop worrying about having church. And let's start worrying about having fellowship with God. If that means nobody speaks on the mic, so be it. If that means the first song doesn't play, so be it. Church, we're being called to a time to usher back God's presence. And listen, people are going to ridicule. They're going to oppose. Let God be God. And the enemy be scattered.